most precious Heavenly Father, and we, thy children, gather together here in this house of worship, this house of prayer, that we might hear this thy word spoken to us by thy servant. And we would ask and pray that thou would put into his heart and his mind those things which thou would have for the hearers, thy children, that it might uplift us and strengthen us and encourage us and strengthen us in our faith and bring joy to our hearts. For we do stand in need, our Heavenly Father, to be comforted, to be uplifted and guided and directed. For so often we have need to be admonished, but we also have need of happiness and joy, and to hear thy word that it is a comfort to us, that we might have that faith and that hope and belief, that we might have a greater understanding in our Heavenly Father, that we might be enlightened and lifted and brought nearer unto thee. O our Heavenly Father, we do pray that thou would touch each and every one of us and cause that we might hunger and thirst more fully for those precious things and those precious gifts, and for the wisdom and the discernment that is so necessary in our life. And I would ask and pray, my Heavenly Father, for thy blessings to be poured out upon thy children everywhere. Not just here in this Church of Christ, but everywhere where people are searching and seeking, who are confused, who are lonely and brokenhearted, who have a knowledge of thee and desire to know thy word in its fullness and in its richness. And I would pray that thou would bring all mankind unto this gospel. I pray that thou would touch thy servants and give them greater understanding of the things, of the mysteries of the gospel, and unravel these mysteries that they might feed the flock, and that they might go out unto every nation and bring thy word, and bring thy love. The most precious thing is to bring your love with your word, that they will know and understand from whence thy servants come, and that they are thy servants. That all things will be done in love and in humility, in kindness and in gentleness and in patience and in understanding. And that we might all, each and every one of us, be blessed with an understanding heart and compassion for all mankind. I would ask and pray, my Heavenly Father, that thou would bless the ministry and the missionaries who are going into the field. Give them of thy protection, and give them energies unbound, that they might be able to continue in the field to do thy work. And I pray for the loved ones whom stay behind, for there is a loneliness and a need. And I pray that that loneliness shall be lifted and the need shall be taken care of. I pray because I know that thy spirit can fill the soul of each and every one of thy children to the point where we do not hunger, we do not have the needs, but those needs would be met through thy spirit. And so I would ask and pray as well, my Heavenly Father, for the sick and the afflicted among us, that thou would bless them and heal them, and touch all of thy children in this church and in the families and in the friends and the relatives, that they might be blessed accordingly to their needs. And as we have a brother and a sister this morning that stand in need of administration, thou knowest their needs, my Heavenly Father, and I would ask and pray that thou would bless them for one to be healed. And I pray, my Heavenly Father, as our sister is a minister to, that thou would take from her anything that might be amiss within her body, and for our young brother, that thou would touch him and bless him and lift him to the point to where he might stand strong and erect, and that he might have strength and knowledge and understanding. Oh, my Heavenly Father, I pray that thou would bless the life of our dear young brother. Give him guidance and counsel and protection. forgiveness as well, Lord, he has fallen. Bless always, I pray, all of thy children, for we all have fallen short of thy glory. But we know that thy love is extended upon us and that thy patience with us. Our heavenly Father cannot be matched in our humanness. And we begin to know just a little of that great love and that patience. And so now, as we prepare to hear thy word, may thy spirit be with us, that we might receive that word as it is meant to be. And we ask you to pray in Jesus' name. We gather together so oft. We have studied and we have heard the Word of God, and yet each and every time we're strengthened and we're renewed and recharged and we're given a little more understanding. And every time we hear the Word of God, it touches our hearts and we begin to look within ourselves, and it lifts us. We all stand in need of comfort and strength. And in the Word of God that is delivered, there is that comfort and strength. And so now, if you give your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother Harold, that we might be fed. Thank you.
I'm certainly not a person that has a large vocabulary when it comes to telling my thoughts and my meanings. And I believe that eloquence, we have heard eloquence this day, that when the prayer, the speech, whatever it is, comes from the heart and the very soul, it is eloquent. It is acceptable to the Lord. It is blessed. I want to read the first three sentences in the 135th Psalm. David says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord." That doesn't mean those only who hold the priesthood. We are all his servants. Are all his servants. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. In the Book of Mormon, it's a book of Mosiah. It's on page 212. I'll read three verses or more, beginning with the 52nd. I say unto you, my brethren, that if ye should render all the thanks and praise which your whole souls have power to possess to that God who has created you, and has kept and preserved you, and has caused that you should rejoice, and has granted that you should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that if you should serve him who has created you from the beginning, and are preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that you may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say, if you should serve him with all your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. We can never repay our Lord. For the patience, the love, the kindness, the mercy, the forgiveness that He grants to us, even though we are not a profitable servant. Yes, in part, we do that which we can in our lives, that we hope and pray will tell our God of our feelings, of our desires. And behold, all that He requires of you is to keep His commandments. And He has promised you that if you would keep His commandments, you should prosper in the land. And He never doth vary from that which He hath said. Therefore, if ye do keep His commandments, He doth bless you and prosper you. Well, there's something the world may say about this, that many, when you look about you, who may not serve God in possibly any way at all, seem to be prosperous. But I don't believe that that prosperous is the one that the Lord is speaking of here. Yes, we want food, raiment. We want those things that are necessary to our livelihood. But above all else, regardless of our state in this life, we want soul salvation. We want to be with our Lord throughout all eternity. That's prosperity. That's the prosperous life we desire. And yes, many times we lose sight of it partially, and we think a lot of the world again. This is good. We have families, we have loved ones that in some way we must support. It is good to prosper financially. But it is not good if we don't use that prosperity in bringing others to a knowledge of the gospel. Helping others that they might too have that prosperity of salvation that we work for. Now in the first place, He hath created you and granted unto you your lives, for which ye are indebted unto Him. And secondly, He doth require that you should do as He hath commanded you, for which if ye do, He doth immediately bless you, and therefore He has paid you. So He has paid us by giving us life, by giving us the necessities, that we might have joy. The joy we speak of and see so much throughout the scriptures are mostly the joy that the Lord has in us and we have in Him as to our soul salvation. But there is joy also in being with our loved ones, in doing for our loved ones, in caring. And if we, with our time, with whatever we have, if we try to do something for a loved one, some material thing, we are blessed. We are paid by that feeling that the Lord blesses us with when we have done a good. And ye are still indebted unto him, and are, and will be, forever and ever. Therefore, of what have ye to boast? Humble. Humility. We have an example set before us. Christ in his ministry upon this earth. And I believe to each of us, any of us, when we read of his mission, his missionary efforts here upon this earth, when we read of them, we say we cannot do as he did. We are not able to do as he did. He doesn't ask us to. He just asks us to try with all our being. Then he will bless us. We slip, we stumble so much. But yet he's so forgiving that he continues to bless. And now I ask, can you say aught of yourselves? I answer you, nay. You cannot say that ye are even as much as the dust of the earth. Yet ye were created of that dust of the earth. But behold, it belongs to him who created you. When we say, we will do this, I will do this, I did this. Yes, we did many things. We pray that they were all good, that they ought to be blessed of the Lord. But we can do many things. But yet we belong to he who created us. And the wonderful part of it is, he wasn't selfish when he created us. We were created for a purpose, that we might praise him by our lives, by those things that we do, those things that we speak, all our lives. And yet he created this that we might be a people that could have joy, not only in this life, but in that to come. Could you ever, without the scriptures, without the Lord speaking to you, could you ever yourself imagine something as great as the Lord offers us? The beauty, the wonder, the gloriousness of it throughout all eternity, that we might be with him. We were created that he might have a people that would keep his gospel, that in the end would live throughout eternity with him. There's nothing more glorious. We'll turn over to page 218. Read a couple of verses here, starting with 119. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But he But if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint, you say that's impossible. I don't read that it says until he becomes a saint when he's 20 or 40 or 50 or in this life. We can become like a saint. But my version of a saint is he who does the bidding as an angel with the bidding of the Lord continuously. And becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. When I said that when we read of the examples that Christ set for us when he's here upon earth, and we say that we cannot do them, then we read this: patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child to submit to his father. If we then submit to the Lord, even though it seems impossible that we can do the things, follow the example that he set in his fullness. We use the word endure. If we endure to the end, if we continuously try our best, even though we slip, try again, then we have hopes of this life eternal. On page 62. Fifth chapter, the 199th verse. Nephi says, "Nevertheless, I did look unto my God, and I did praise him all the day long, and I did not murmur against the Lord because of mine afflictions." I wonder how many of us can say, "Lord, I will accept all the inflictions you put upon me." We think immediately of the trials that we have, the frailties that we have, and we wish we didn't have them. We pray that the Lord would take them from us. But yet those that we have, we ask of him that he might repair our bodies, that he might bless us in the way that would help us to withstand. But when Nephi said, "And I did not murmur against the Lord because of mine afflictions," remember, we're unprofitable servants. Remember, we're to be tested, we're to be tried. If we weren't tried, we could not have soul salvation with Christ, with God. We must be tried, and we must overcome, or must continue to try to overcome. We won't always overcome. We may fight so hard to, but we won't always overcome. There will be things that will be with us all our lives. But yet we must not cease to try. On page 134, I want to read a verse. Isaiah is speaking in this one. It's the 134th verse of the 9th chapter. "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water," 135, "and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Now, how are we going to make mention that his name is exalted? The first part of the verse says, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. Tell that which the Lord, testify of that which the Lord has done for you or for others that you have seen. Tell of his word. Tell it to people, anyone who will listen. Exalt his name, not our own, not ourselves, not what we do. Let's see here. Page 398. Here is an example of praise, example of humility. I want to start at the 88th verse. Now this is when Ammon and Aaron, their brethren, have been in their missionary efforts among the Lamanites. And a few of them come together again and meet, and they speak of the times that they had, of their efforts and possibly some of their accomplishments and so on. Blessed be the name of our God. Let us sing to his praise. Yea, let us give thanks to his lofty name, for he doth work righteousness forever. For if we had not come up out of the land of Zarahemla, these our dearly beloved brethren, who have so dearly beloved us, would now. This may sound a little odd to you, but remember, the beloved brethren now are those of the Lamanites who have been converted. They are no longer the heathen that they were considered. They have been converted to the gospel, and therefore they become the beloved brethren who have so dearly beloved us, would still have been racked with hatred against us, yea, and they would also have been strangers to God. And it came to pass that when Ammon had said these things, his brother Aaron rebuked him, saying, Ammon, I fear that thy joy doth carry thee away unto boasting. And then I like Ammon's answer. But Ammon said unto him, I do not boast in my own strength or in my own wisdom, but behold, my joy is full. Yea, my heart is brim with joy, and I will rejoice in my God. Yea, I know that I am nothing as to my strength. I am weak. Therefore, I will not boast of myself, but I will boast of my God. For in his strength I can do all things. Yea, behold, many mighty miracles we have wrought in this land, for which we will praise his name forever. He uses a word there that I don't think I would use, but still, it's all right. When he says, for in his strength I can do all things. Yea, behold, many mighty miracles we have done. We know that the Lord has done these miracles through these his servants. Behold, many mighty miracles we have wrought in this land, for which we will praise his name forever. You know, there's one of the songs we sing. I believe the name is the Angel Message. The chorus reads, "Then praise the Lord, O my soul, abundant mercy, O how free. In joyful song my spirit doth accord, since the precious angel message came to me." That same message we've been talking about so far this day. That same message that is the gospel of Christ. That same message that gives us forgiveness. That same message that tells us how we might be one day, the rest of eternity with the Lord. That is the message. And this is what we praise the Lord for. On page 727 in the third chapter of Ether, verses 9 through 12. This is of the Jaredites when they're coming from the land round about Jerusalem to the Americas. And this is during their journey when they're in their boats. "Therefore, when they were encompassed about by many waters, they did cry unto the Lord, and he did bring them forth again upon the top of the waters. And it came to pass that the wind did never cease to blow toward the promised land while they were upon the waters. Driven forth before the law of the wind. And they did sing praises unto the Lord." All right. Well, the verse up here, it says that they did cry unto the Lord. And we would assume then that they cried unto the Lord in prayer, because that's the way we associate it. If you cry unto the Lord, you're crying in prayer. But then in verse 11 it says, "And we did thank and praise the Lord all the day long." Sometimes I wonder if you can tell the difference between praise and prayer. "And when the night came, they did not cease to praise the Lord. And thus they were driven forth, and no monster of the sea could break them, neither whale that could mar them, and they did have light continually, whether it was above or the water or under the water." All right. I want to read to us on page 656. This is the third Nephi, the ninth chapter. I want to read about five verses, starting with the 22nd. This is at the time that Christ has visited the Nephites. He has been with them previous to this particular time, but again he is with them. And they are praying. And Christ apart prays and says, "Father, thou hast given them the Holy Ghost because they believe in me. And thou seest that they believe in me because thou hearest them. And they pray unto me, and they pray unto me because I am with them. And now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, and also for all those who shall believe on their words, that they may believe in me, that I may be in them, as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one. And it came to pass that when Jesus had thus prayed unto the Father, he came unto his disciples, and behold, they did still continue, without ceasing, to pray unto him. And they did not multiply many words, for it was given unto them what they should pray. And they were filled with desire. Stop a moment. In your prayers, especially those prayers that are in your secret closets, those where you pour out the Lord and you pour out your soul to the Lord, and you're not conscious of making a mistake or speaking a little bit differently or something. You're pouring out your heart, and no one is to hear but him, and he understands all things. And as I've said before, there's times when you start to pray, and it just seems, I can't pray. I'm saying the words, but I can't pray. And then that Spirit of the Lord touches you, and words come forth from your mouth that you didn't know you were capable of. And the Spirit that is with you is so beautiful, blesses so much, that you can't see how I ever could doubt. And this is what was given unto these people, that they would know what to pray for, and they were filled with desire. And it came to pass that Jesus beheld them, and they did pray unto him, and his countenance did smile upon them, and the light of his countenance did shine upon them. And behold, they were as white as the countenance, and also the garments of Jesus. This then is a token reward of what is to be ours if we continue to endure, if we continue to praise the name of the Lord by all that we do, say, and think. I know. That's a tall, tall order. And how can we meet it? Only by doing as the Scripture tells us, to let our minds constantly dwell upon the Lord. There are tasks that you will do throughout the day, work that you will do, that you can do without thinking. It's almost automatic. You're not thinking. Your mind is somewhere else. You're thinking of something else at times. Something happens and your mind is on it, and you continue doing your work. Why can't our mind be upon the Lord? Upon our desires for soul salvation. It can be done, but yet it's hard. So many things distract. So many things distract. But even with the distractions, they become habits. You can continue to do. People make some very grave mistakes sometimes. I didn't know this person, but I knew of him. A man who had been in the gospel many years, an elderly man. And something happened that was very unusual. He was fishing. Hadn't had too much luck. And then quite a nice fish got on his hook. And he was busy. He was bringing it in. It got away. I don't believe in all his life anyone had ever heard that man take the Lord's name in vain. what he did then. Not thinking, not premeditated, which proves how very close Satan is watching, how he'll take the very tiniest opportunity to try to discourage. Let us try to endure to the end. I know it's hard. There's so many things when we take stock of ourselves that we realize that we have to repent of, that we have to ask forgiveness of. So many things that we in our lives that we must say, I'm going to do different, and do it. Even with the stumbling blocks. As I said, you may not do it, but keep on trying.